This morning, we are going to take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, reading the first 11 verses. Let's hear what God's Word says to us this morning. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." So when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. One of the many interesting things that we see in the gospel accounts of Jesus is that over and over again, he attracted crowds. It seems that wherever Jesus went, there were people that either followed him or came out from wherever they happened to be living to hear and to listen to what he had to say. Jesus had this magnetic personality that attracted people, and they were drawn to him over and over again. As we read through the Gospels, we see those many examples of how crowds came to hear and to see and to learn from what it was that Jesus was saying to them. It didn't seem to matter whether Jesus was just passing through town on his way from one point to another, or if he was staying in a town for a given length of time, perhaps to have dinner in someone's home or to sit for a more lengthy conversation. Whichever it may have been, the result was consistent. People came from all over the area to be near, to hear, to respond, to listen attentively to what it was that Jesus had to offer to them. In these opening verses of Luke 5, we are told that Jesus was standing on the shoreline of the Lake of Gennesaret, or as it's more frequently referred to, the Sea of Galilee. He was standing on the shore, and people from that area were pressing in closer and closer to where he was standing on the shoreline to make sure that they didn't miss anything that Jesus might be saying. They were, in fact, pressing in so tightly that Jesus was on the verge of being pushed out into the water because of the press of people. Verse 1 offers us a bit of insight as to why it seems that Jesus always attracted such crowds of people to listen to him. It tells us in that first verse that the people came to hear the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God that was being proclaimed to them by Jesus. We're not told specifically what Old Testament passage Jesus was referring to as he taught the people that day. But whatever it was, it held their attention. They were captivated by what it was that Jesus was saying because it seemed that Jesus' teaching always stood in such stark contrast to other teachings that they heard. These folks were eager to hear what the teacher had to say to them that day. There's no direct comparison given in these verses from Luke as to how Jesus taught as compared to how other rabbis of that generation would teach them. The so-called experts in the law would often try to convey truth to the people that they could gather around them, but there was something distinctively different about the style that Jesus taught and the style that Jesus used in comparison to all of those other supposed experts. The practice of the day was that when a rabbi would give teaching from whatever biblical passage he was referencing, he didn't really speak from his own insight or his own thoughts about that passage. He would simply read or quote rabbis from the past who had written their thoughts on a particular passage of Scripture. There was really nothing new, nothing original that was being offered by those rabbis. And so when Jesus came and taught in the ways that he did, there was a distinct and very marked difference. There was something fresh and new that Jesus was conveying to them that the rabbis simply did not offer. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus taught the people with authority. I think these verses from Luke give us at least a glimpse of just how attractive this new kind of teaching was that Jesus was offering, and why it was that people were pressing in on this particular day closer and closer so that they wouldn't miss anything that Jesus had to teach them by the lakeshore that day. When the people were crowding in so close that they were literally pushing up against one another and forcing Jesus to step back a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the shore, he saw that there was a way to relieve that pressure by simply getting into one of the fishing boats that was there. The boat happened to belong to Simon. We're told that there were actually two boats on shore that day. They were owned by men who had spent all night out on the lake fishing. They were most likely repairing, washing their nets, getting ready for the next night's work when they would go out and do it all over again. And in the context of the passage that Luke describes for us, they had not had any luck that previous night. They were discouraged, they were tired, they were not anxious to do anything other than what they had to do to get ready for the next night's work and then probably go home to sleep. But on that day, we are told that Jesus asked Simon if he could get in his boat, that they could push out just a little bit from shore so that he could teach and preach and speak to the people without being pushed out into the water. The fishermen who were there did what Jesus asked. Probably Peter or Simon's brother Andrew was in the boat along with his brother and Jesus during that teaching time. But the real focus of what Luke is describing for us is not the content of the teaching or the number of people in the crowd or any of those other details that we would perhaps find interesting. The real focus doesn't start until the teaching has ended. And it is in that setting when Jesus asks Simon to push out into deep water and to try again. Let down your nets for a catch, Jesus asked them. And they did what Jesus asked. I suppose you could say that Simon and Andrew were very literally a captive audience to what Jesus had been teaching, and they were closer than anyone else to hear and to see and to experience the the teaching that Jesus was giving that day, and there was something about Jesus that motivated a willingness to do what they might well have thought was a wasted effort. You remember, I'm sure, what Peter said, or Simon said, to Jesus, basically saying, "We've done it all night, Lord. We haven't caught a thing. It's kind of a waste of time to do this again." After all, Peter was the expert. He was the professional who had been fishing since the days that he was a young boy. He had spent perhaps decades out on the water and knew that lake as well as any fisherman on the shoreline. And yet, as tempting as it was for Peter to say, "We've been doing this all night, Lord, it's a waste of time, but if you ask us to, we are willing to give it a try." And what an amazing response, result there was because of his willingness to obey the instruction of Jesus. We're told that they caught so many fish that both their boat and the boat of their partners were filled to the point of sinking because of the weight of all of those fish that they had caught. It's no wonder that Peter fell to his knees before Jesus and asked him to go away from him. A loose paraphrase, I suppose, of what he said to Jesus would be, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. You don't want to hang around a guy like me. You can't be in my company because I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner." Isn't it amazing that it took that miracle of the abundant catch of fish to capture Peter's attention and loyalty? It was right after getting to shore that they followed Jesus. They left their fishing business behind and they went where Jesus would take them. It was that miracle of catching all those fish that motivated their willingness to become disciples of Jesus, rather than the miracle that Jesus had done just a short while before. If you were to look at chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, you would find that it is in that chapter that it is described how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law from sickness. That should have captured Peter's attention. That example of power and authority should have motivated faith and a willingness to follow, and yet it was this subsequent miracle of this abundant catch of fish that captured their attention more than anything else could possibly have been. As I've been reading these verses from Luke 5 over these past days, I have found myself coming back to the words of request that Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew when he had finished his teaching: "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." It's probably obvious, but it perhaps is worth mentioning anyway, that if you're trying to catch fish, it makes sense to go where the fish are. You're not likely to catch too many fish on shore where there's 6 inches or a foot of water, perhaps. You have to go out into the water that is deep enough for seeing where the fish are living. Jesus invited the disciples, those pre-disciples, I suppose we could call them, those 4 fishermen, to go out into deep water. just as he invites us to go into deep water ourselves with him and not settle for living in the shallows, not settle for living where it is not where life happens fully. In the years that stretched out before them, all four of these men were going to see amazing things from the hand of Jesus. As they struggled with getting all of those multitude of fish into shore that day, they were going to be taught that as long as they were with Jesus, it didn't really matter how deep, how sometimes scary that deep water around them might become. Because he was going to be there with them. He was going to be there to help them by giving them strength and courage. You remember the night when Jesus and his disciples were out on this same lake in the middle of a violent storm? It was as Jesus literally was walking on the water past their boat that Peter saw him and called out to Jesus, asking if it would be all right if he got out of the boat and walked toward Jesus. What an audacious request. But Jesus, I think, was delighted to hear Peter ask such a thing. And it started out just fine, as you will remember. He started walking toward Jesus, and it was going well until it suddenly occurred to him, what am I doing out here? As he saw the waves and heard the winds roaring and took his eyes off of Jesus and suddenly was sinking into the waves. Going deep can be a scary thing. Sometimes it seems like there's a fine line between getting into deep water and getting in over our heads. The difference always seems to be whether Jesus is alongside of us or if we're venturing out on our own. If we try to make it without Jesus alongside of us, it's not going to turn out well. When I was a kid, growing up in the town where our family lived when I was in grade school, I remember how scary it was to be out in the lake that was on the edge of our town. Because at that point in life, I had not yet learned how to swim. I liked to pretend that I could swim. As I stayed in the shallow water, maybe chest high or so, I would move my arms in the water just like the big kids did, but my feet were planted firmly on the bottom so that I could move through the water safely. It looked, I thought, like I was actually swimming when in fact I was anything but. But to be honest, pretending to swim was not a whole lot of fun. I couldn't go out to where the raft was. I couldn't jump off the diving board because I hadn't learned yet how to swim out past the safety of the shallow water to where the big kids went. I couldn't do any of those things that were really fun until I actually learned to swim using my arms and my legs to move through the water. Isn't it tragic when Christians spend years pretending to swim, and all along they insist that they really need to stay in where it's shallow and safe, where they can still touch the bottom? What might it look like here at First Covenant Church in River Falls, if we were bold enough to go out into the deep water that Jesus invites us to, how would being fishers of men, as Jesus encouraged those early disciples to be, how would that become more effective in our lives if we were willing to venture into that deep water that the Lord calls us to? How might our church change if we truly went deep? What changes might we individually experience? When we use terms like going deep with Jesus, I suppose usually what we mean is becoming more spiritually mature. And when we talk about spiritual growth, we usually hear advice about how we should read another spiritual help book that is new on the market, or how we should attend another seminar that will help us in our walk with Jesus, or how we should grow in our times of personal devotional life by spending more time in God's Word, or in perhaps staying current with the Reading Through the Bible program that our church is engaged in right now. The advice that we generally hear about growing spiritually generally boils down to this: try a little harder. No wonder there are so many frustrated, immature followers of Christ. We have been invited by the Lord to come out into the deep water, but we've somehow turned that invitation into try a little harder, and when you fail, feel real guilty about it. Some years ago, Linda and I had the opportunity of attending a midwinter conference that year happened to be held out in Denver. One of the highlights of that week for me was being able to listen to the author and pastor named John Ortberg, who spoke to our group one morning. During his comments, he said something that really resonated with me when he said, "We do a good job of teaching people to be saved by grace, but not a very good job of teaching people how to live by grace." He went on to describe a repeating cycle that it seems captivates and engages many different Christians, that goes into their lives over and over again. It's a cycle that begins when we feel guilty for something in our lives that we have slipped up in. Let's say by not spending enough time in God's Word each day, or by letting our prayer life begin to flounder. So as a result, we try harder. We discipline ourselves for the next couple of weeks by getting up early and spending that devoted time in devotional time with the Lord each day. But pretty soon, we get tired and fatigued. And before long, we've given it up. And it's not long until that fact that we quit produces in us a new feeling of guilt, and the cycle begins all over again. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with building a strong devotional life or practicing any of those other spiritual disciplines. But going through this guilt cycle is not what going deep with Jesus is intended to produce. At that conference in Denver, Ortberg made a comment that has helped me tremendously in this area of life. He said, "Our job as followers of Jesus is to jump into the river of God's grace. Our goal is to be in the flow of His Spirit. I realize that these mixed metaphors about going deep with Jesus and jumping into the river of His grace might sound a bit confusing, but basically, I think that both of them are inviting us to enter into a deeper spiritual connection with our Savior and Lord. If we're tired of pretending that we can swim, all the while we stay where it's shallow and safe, if we grow weary just thinking about another self-help spiritual development program that we need to try, I suggest that maybe we need to allow the grace of God's Spirit to gently flow over us. We too are invited to be fishers of people, just as those first disciples were, inviting people to live in a relationship of trust and love with Jesus. It's His power within us that makes any growth possible, any effective witness happen. It's as we flow in the river of His grace that we can share our faith with others with a passion that we otherwise would not have, and that can produce results that otherwise we would not see. I don't know about you, but I don't want to settle for shallow Christian living. So let's go deep together. Let's jump into that river of His grace. For it's as we do these things that our connection to Jesus will grow stronger and deeper and more meaningful as we serve Him together. None of us knows how soon it might be that there will be a new permanent lead pastor to guide and to lead this congregation of First Covenant. No matter how short or how long that wait might be, wouldn't it be exciting? Wouldn't it be great if your new pastor would find a whole church filled with swimmers who want to go deep with the Lord? With the Spirit's help, that can be exactly what this congregation becomes in these times of excitement and eager anticipation for what the Lord has in store for us in these coming months. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You invite us again and again to go deep with You, to not settle for shallow Christian living on the shoreline, to trust You enough to go where we can't touch the bottom. Lord, whatever that might mean in our individual lives, if it's becoming more bold in our sharing with others, if it is growing stronger in You through a time of devotion or scripture reading or simply living with You closely each day. May it be so, Lord, in each of our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name.